been getting some feedback from the show that apparently I've been very what's the word I'm looking for?
Condescending?
Yeah, maybe. So I'm going to try to be a lot more positive and encouraging towards you.
Oh.
Starting right now.
Fantastic.
No, it already feels wrong. Hello and welcome to episode 76 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me, as always,
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia,
and
Canada.
That's how we do it. You nailed it.
Yeah, ironing out the kinks on episode 76.
That's how it goes once you get into it, yeah. So what's going on? Welcome. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. Nothing's going on. What's going on with you?
Nothing. Pouring rain. It's always,
great.
It always devolves to the weather, the conversation. But it has been horribly, horribly rainy.
We could just talk about wrestling this week.
Oh, are you kidding? I would love to talk about wrestling.
No, let's not do it.
Yeah. Old school stuff. Old stampede
wrestling. Yeah, 1980s
wrestling. Yeah. What's Tiger Chung Lee up to? I contacted him on Facebook the other day, which is weird because I'm not even on Facebook. Hard to
I'm sure he has a Facebook page.
I would assume so. I would assume someone would have made him one. Yeah. This week was Tiger Chung Lee. Last week, Bruno Gerussi. Who's going to get named next week?
George the Animal Steel.
No, not wrestling. It's got to be some other Canadian.
Albert Einstein.
Very Canadian, yeah.
Yeah.
He's born like half an hour down the street from you here.
How about Iron Mike Sharp? He's another wrestler.
No, this is more of a guessing game. Like, people are going to wonder, hey, which Canadian icon's going to get mentioned next week?
Well, Iron Mike Sharp, this is a teaser. He considered himself self-proclaimed Canada's greatest athlete.
So what did you shoot this week?
I was a tourist in my hometown this week. So I did something in Vancouver that I haven't done in about 10 years.
Okay.
Which was...
Find a...
No, was take the C bus to North Vancouver.
All right, I love the C bus.
Yeah, I did it when I first moved up to Vancouver, maybe about 12 years ago. And for those that don't know, it is a very small, I don't know, ferry, I guess you'd call it, that goes from downtown Vancouver to North Vancouver.
Let me go ahead and tell you that the name C bus pretty much explains it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's on water. It's a boat. Okay. So, but no, the cool thing about it.
Did you think
is
it was a giant a bus that had a giant letter C on the side?
It could be.
You think that's what it was?
You never know. You know, someone out there thought that, so I thought we'd clarify.
Okay.
So, for those that don't know, basically you can, you know, use it. It's like regular transit. So it's a 10 minute ride from
roughly
downtown Vancouver, to North Vancouver. And the cool thing about it is that when we were leaving and when we were coming back, actually, we were lucky on both ways. Well, there's a helicopter launch pad that, you know, flies people to various places on Vancouver Island.
I've ridden that helicopter.
Yeah, well, we on both the leaving of the C bus as it was leaving the Vancouver terminal, and when we returned, we happened to catch, you know, helicopters taking off at both ends of our trip. So that is pretty cool because the launch pad from inside the C bus, you get to within probably about 100 meters, maybe less, maybe 75 meters of the actual helicopter taking off, and both the kids and myself, I was mesmerized by it.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty good. I'd recommend that to everybody who comes to Vancouver is to ride the C bus.
Yeah.
I love to because it's, as you said, it's part of your bus ticket. Like if you buy a all day pass or whatever, zone 3 or whatever. Zone,
yeah. It's, I think zone, it's part of that 3 zone or 2 zone pass. Yeah.
Then you're sorted. It's basically you can ride it back and forth as many times as you like within that 90 minutes.
Right. And, which probably is twice.
Leaves every 15 minutes. I'm sure you can squeeze 6 in. if you had to.
But from a photography standpoint, so this is where I was going before you so rudely interrupted me, was – no, it wasn't rude, by the way – was that you get some great shots, specifically, like I don't want to shoot through the glass as I'm going out on the boat, so I didn't really do any of that. But when you get to the other side and you're standing on the North Vancouver side at the quay, mm-hmm. You know, there's sort of a lookout area and get some shots facing back to Vancouver. So the kids kind of playing on that little, there's like a fountain out there, and there's kind of like, I don't know, it's a little bit of a pier that you can stand out on. And then you get the backdrop of the Vancouver skyline. So some great photo opportunities for those that live in the Vancouver area or might be traveling to Vancouver. Good thing to check out.
Highly recommended. And they have tuned up Lonsdale Quay a little bit, but for a long time it was like my most hated architecture in Vancouver.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did not like it.
Yeah, I was surprised because we went on a Sunday and I thought it was surprisingly quiet when we were down there. I expected it to be just a mess of people and things going on. And really, it wasn't a rainy day. It was overcast, so it wasn't a sunshiny day. But there was very few people in the Lonsdale Quay. So I was surprised. I thought it would be much busier than it actually was.
There you go.
So I'm not sure if that was just the day. I imagine the summer it gets a lot busier. I was picturing something closer to Granville Island as far as the busyness factor, and it just wasn't. So, but the pictures, my wife will be writing a blog in the next couple of days. Should be up by the time this is being run. It should be a post with some of those pictures.
So we're going to spend the next 30 minutes trying to think of a funny title for that blog.
Sure.
Let's do that. Okay.
All right.
This will be the brainstorming episode. And cut. Okay, so we cut that part out.
What did you shoot?
Family stuff, the usual. We went to a friend's house for dinner, where other friends came and brought their kids, and so it was kind of a big giant daycare situation. I can't even count how many kids. Six?
Okay.
I suppose six seems about right. But everyone's very, very, very young, very young kids.
Right.
So that was trying to shoot some of that was interesting because you're trying to basically shoot nice pictures and make sure that no one eats rocks. So
yes, it's a difficult task.
We haven't covered that on the show. That should be an episode in the future about how to get your kid to stop eating rocks.
Is your kid like a troublemaker? Like, is she a biter or anything? Like, does she pull hair on other kids or scratch their face off or anything like that?
No, not that. I mean, she. I think she'll be a troublemaker in some regards, but not a fight starter.
Okay, that's good.
Not yet.
Does she cry her face off when other kids, you know, mess with her?
No, not at all.
Okay, that's good too.
No, so we were actually at the different day. We were at the playground, which I was trying to shoot with a broken lens, which was a lot of fun.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, my 70 to 200 needs a little bit of TLC.
Okay.
So the autofocus is messed up, so I end up having to shoot with manual focus and a combination of manual and autofocus, and I get a lot of out of focus because of it.
Right.
So I'm not sure when I'm going to have to take that in. I might not be able to get in there until August, so I have to kind of shine it on a little longer.
Right.
So, yeah, no, but my kid at the playground likes to make friends with the other kids.
Okay.
Pretty aggressively, though, and so that the other kids don't. I can't carry on this comment. Who's listening to this?
Not me.
Who cares? You asked. You asked, and you're not even
No,
listening.
I asked about what you shot, and then I stopped listening.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, let's keep this on track.
Okay. Challenge photo?
No, not yet, though, but I do want to talk about what I shot, because
all right.
On two different occasions, once at the playground and then once at the friend's house, both times featured a swing, a child on a swing.
Okay.
A child on a swing with somebody pushing that child.
Right.
And so in order to get really good photos, any idea on what method I employed?
I'm going to guess either...
I wrote it in the notes.
No. I would say, because I do this shot too, I would say probably the trap.
Yeah.
But you could employ the L servo and focus on the person in the swing.
I like the fact, I think it's AI servo, but you just made it into some sort of Mexican wrestler.
Yeah.
El servo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think mine is an L.
Is it?
I don't know. It looks like an L to me. Maybe it's an I.
Regardless, you could use the servo. not bad. I had no choice because my one lens is kaput, as we say over here. So I basically, that was a great opportunity to do a focus trap, which we talked about. I don't know how many episodes ago, 20, 25 episodes ago or something.
Sure. Yeah. So, let's not nitpick over the episode number.
No. But point is, if you're interested to know what a focus trap is, listen back. It comes in extremely handy in this situation, because there's one shot in particular that I wanted to get, and this was with my 30 mil, where I wanted to get the kid on the swing basically swinging right into the foreground, so his face was there. You couldn't see his whole body on the swing, just his face, but you knew his hands, so you knew he's on the swing. And right in the background is his dad, out of focus.
Right.
So in order to get that shot with a really shallow depth of field, it's very difficult with the servo to get it all. So the good news is, the kid on the swing, he's going to repeat what he does over and over at a very predictable rate.
Right.
Because that's how a pendulum works, by the way.
I was going to say very pendular.
Yes, pendular. That's the title of that tip.
And my Mexican wrestler is El Servo Pendulaciono.
Yeah, so there you go. So that's so I recommend the focus trap on the playground. That's because anytime you can predict where someone's going to be, that's awesome. Plus, you know, throw on the motor drive or the burst mode, and you're going to get something.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Great. How to Take a Picture on a Swing by Alan Attridge.
I wrote down Mac News in the show notes because Apple released a bunch of new products.
Yeah.
Feel like talking about them?
Not really.
Me neither.
Yeah.
They look cool. They look cool. I guess whatever they're calling the iris display, retina display, I just made up my own. Looks cool.
No phone announcement, though. I think that's the one that everyone's been waiting on, and no iPhone 5 release or anything yet.
Really? The iPhone that's the 4 big was one. Pretty – wasn't very long ago, though, was it?
iPhone 4 – well, the 4S was released when they – everybody thought it was going to be the 5, but I guess they had production slowdown, so then they released the 4S. So then everybody thought that they were going to announce it this time, but apparently, again, production problems, so it's still waiting on a release.
I'd be surprised if it's production problems. There is a sort of a happy spot for like product release cycles.
Yeah.
Where if everybody has the 4S, the people are reluctant to buy the 5, you have to kind of give them enough lead time to have that envy.
Yes.
I mean,
but they've had it. I don't know what the exact release date was of the 4S, but it's been out a while, long enough for Apple to definitely be announcing the next version, especially because with all the new faster networks available, like Apple's actually, it seems like, a step behind now. So.
Well, there's that.
Poor Steve Jobs is just not happy right now, I bet you.
I'm sure. Yeah. So the new MacBook Pros, I didn't really check out too much. It looks like they're going in the right direction as far as I can tell, but I haven't read very much about them at all.
Okay.
So there you go. Photo challenge. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this, since it was your idea?
What more is there to say than texture?
I don't know.
Did the way I say that have texture?
Yeah. It sounds like you added a little gravel to your voice there.
Okay. No, I just put a couple of M&Ms in my mouth.
All right.
That's it. Texture. Okay. Go out and shoot it.
Yours or mine?
How about mine this time?
Let's do it.
Okay.
What are we looking at here?
We're looking at, you know, right? This is one of the Olympic mascots from the Vancouver 2010 Olympics. This is Kwachi, who is, can you guess what kind of animal he is? If it's an animal, a beast,
do you want to know
mythical creature?
Honestly, do you want to know I barely knew who this was because I wasn't around for the Olympics, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I did see the thing, Kwachi, and I had no clue where that name came from until just now.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming it's a Sasquatch.
He is a Sasquatch. And the best thing about it is he's a Sasquatch, and they kind of put stories behind each of the characters. I think there was four, and we have all the stuffies of these because they're big for kids, and the kids absolutely love these, still play with these things. But Kwachi had aspirations of being a great hockey goaltender in the 2010 Olympics. So, they have different sports that they're sort of associated with. So Kwachi was all about being a hockey goalie. So there you go, Kwachi.
Okay, and the reason, question though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who has more arm hair, Kwachi or you?
It's a toss-up. Mm-hmm. And see, that's another reason why I put this in there, because I knew you would have some kind of hair remark about Kwachi. So I kind of served that one up for you. So don't think you were clever there. I fully anticipated that kind of comment.
Obviously.
Yeah. So he has more hair on his head, too, if you wanted to make that cheap shot. Go ahead, make that cheap shot.
Okay. More hair, head hair.
So here we go. So this is Kwachi. I chose him as far as texture goes because of the fur, but also you'll notice there is a whole range of different textures with Kwachi between his bottom of his shoes, mm-hmm. and the soft kind of plush of the hands and the face, and then the fuzzy earmuffs, and obviously the kind of the long kind of scraggly fur. So I put him on the edge of the couch, and the couch has a little bit of texture, although again, to light everything, and I lit this with an umbrella with shooting, not the shoot through, but the reflector umbrella. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to capture a bit of the texture of the wall too, so you get a little bit of the wall texture. So I was trying to bundle up as much texture into a small package as possible. So there's Kwachi. And the tie-in here with the Olympics was obviously I was thinking, hey, this is a good time because the Summer Olympics, London 2012 is coming up pretty quick, and I thought there's even an Olympic tie-in here.
Man, you are meta.
Yeah,
you stepped
that's how
inside,
I do it.
You stepped inside the map on this one.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm impressed.
So have at her. What do you think as far as my texture?
Well, now that you explained it, now it makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
I was looking at the fur and thought, okay, he's showing fur texture.
Right.
And so, I don't know.
That's it. The end. I showed fur.
You shot fur. there's no shadow on the wall.
There isn't.
So there's that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. The shadow would actually off to his Kwachi's left, camera right, because I lit it from the camera left.
Okay.
So that's why I cropped it to get rid of the shadow in behind him on the wall.
Looking back, do you wish you'd bought a better looking couch?
No, I like my couch.
Okay. I just meant because of that color.
That color? You don't like brown?
I don't know.
All right.
I'm struggling here.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to your picture.
Well, I don't know. Are we done with yours?
Yeah, aren't we?
I think so.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, here's
mine. It's a picture of different textures. The end.
Here's my picture of texture. Now, when you issued this challenge, I guess I misinterpreted it. I thought you meant interesting texture.
What's wrong with Kwachi?
No,
all right, forget it. It's fine. Your picture's more interesting. You win. You're the greatest. You finally won a photo challenge.
Well, don't say condescending like that. Because I'll be honest with you, it takes the wind out of the sails a little bit.
Okay. No, I liked your picture. I saw your picture and I liked it.
I took this one. This is the probably this one definitely holds the record for the fastest turnaround on a photo challenge.
Okay.
Because you issued the challenge, I took it within the hour of last week's. Instead of doing it 15 minutes before we record the next one, like normal, I actually did this one immediately. Because as soon as you said it, something sprung to mind.
Okay.
And not exactly what I'd thought. Like, I thought, you know what? I want to find a book in the house that has that sort of slightly raised type. That was the texture I wanted to do when the ink is sort of a little bit raised.
Yeah.
Didn't really have a book, though, that like that. Like, I thought we'd probably have some sort of old book, but we don't really have that many old books, believe it or not.
Okay.
However, I did find up, I did dig up this English one that we had and got in close, and you can see the texture of the paper and the ink on that paper.
Yes, you can.
So that's the texture I was going for.
And did you go for a specific phrase in the book?
I wanted a name, and that's the name I got.
Smiley.
Smiley is a name. That's a spoiler alert.
Okay.
So I wanted to do that for a very specific reason. The rest of it didn't matter, the open part. The first page I turned to where Smiley was in the middle of the page was what I went for.
Okay.
And I used the old Don Komarechka trick from episodes back on the poor man's macro.
Yeah, I actually thought that when I saw this, as I'm like, I was wondering if you did that. So there you go.
I don't do it enough. It's actually very, very handy.
Yeah.
And so I basically, to what that reference is that I took the lens off, flipped it around, held it on backwards, and fired away.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard to do. So
no.
So bonus points if you can guess what book this is based on the name. I'll give you a hint. It's a sequel.
It's not my autobiography. Because I know you just finished reading that. Yeah. So, no, I don't know. I don't know. What is it? Yeah.
No, I'm putting it out there for the listeners if anybody knows.
Oh, this is like a cliffhanger.
In fact, I know one listener in particular definitely knows. So that's the spoiler right there, or that's the teaser right there. But it is the sequel. It's not the first book. It's I don't know which how many sequels there were. I've said enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does the bonus point entitle you to?
I think it's bragging rights, same as everything.
Oh, I'll mail them a Quatchy. Can shoot their own great textured picture.
How would you ever get that through customs? That's crazy.
I don't know. It looks like a bomb, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Is that enough? Can we move on now?
Yeah, absolutely. We can move on.
All right. This week's topic has nothing to do with texture, does it?
I don't know what the topic is.
This week's topic, what is latitude?
Oh, what you didn't want me to answer that, did you?
No, what is dynamic range? Now, this isn't going to be your traditional tip. In fact, this is going to be boring.
So shut it off right now.
No, but what you should do is see how we're going to dance this up. Don't even know if that's a phrase. I'm starting that right now. To take something lousy and make it interesting, you're dancing it up.
Right, okay.
Yeah, like in that Footloose movie. So what is latitude? Have you ever heard the phrase latitude in photography?
No, this is the first I'm hearing of it.
Is that true?
No, I've heard of it.
Okay.
But I thought it would be better if I said that and then you could explain it.
Oh, I was hoping you would take the reins on this.
Oh,
No, this actually applies. This is because we're gonna talk about some related topics down the road, and I felt like, well, perhaps we should broach this subject prior.
Okay.
Okay. So these are scientific terms that I guess on the surface don't really mean a whole lot to non geeks. If you're a geek, you're interested in all the science behind all this. But where the rubber meets the road, that's what we are interested in. And what that means is latitude and dynamic range basically both refer to how much your camera can see in lights and darks.
Okay.
Okay, the end. All right.
That's kind of along the lines I was thinking, but I just don't know where the difference is between the two.
Right.
Because I would have answered something along those lines in a convoluted way for both of them.
I'm sure there's different definitions or people hold them differently, and the words kind of get interchanged. And I really don't care if they do. I'm not going to cry about it. But what we're talking about, I'm sure you must have heard that phrase, like, oh, this one's got 11 stops of latitude or this and that.
Yep.
Basically, latitude and dynamic range aren't exactly the same. Okay?
Okay.
So, first of all, how much can your eye see? How dark and how bright can your eye see something? Like, what's the latitude on your eye?
I have absolutely no idea. And you're talking about in terms of stops.
Just in general. I'm not getting scientific, but if you think about it, if you think about, you know, how you basically – now, your eye doesn't work exactly like a camera, but there's some similarities. But if you go into a dark room, after a while, you can start to see something. Right.
Yeah.
If it's really dark, you're not going to see everything perfectly, but eventually your eyes get accustomed and you can see things. If you then walk out into the bright sunlight, eventually you'll be able to see in the bright sun as well.
Right.
You know, and now obviously it gets too bright and you need sunglasses, or it gets too dark and you need a flashlight, but there's quite a huge range there of latitude of what your eye can see.
Okay, I'm still with you.
I don't know what the numbers are, but this is the physical representation of it.
Yeah, let's use the number 11 from here on out.
Number, yes. Well, duh. Now, how much can a photograph convey of that? How much can a photograph see?
I'm guessing not as much.
Not as much as your eye. Again, there's a lot of variables that go in, and we don't need to get into that. What we want to be aware of is the fact that what latitude refers to.
Okay, and it's the range.
Well, that's what dynamic range is. This is where it gets a little confusing.
Oh, man.
So latitude basically refers to the dark to light range that a medium, film or digital, whatever it is, can effectively capture. But with latitude, it's basically what they're referring to is how much you can miss by and still get an image. Now, to the technically minded out there, this is sort of an oversimplification that we're doing on this subject, just to prove a point and not lose everybody.
Okay.
Okay. So for instance, back when you were shooting, negative
and
film.
You said, you just to clarify, you said that so that you don't get a bunch of emails telling you that you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. In episode 41 of Star Trek, you'll find that the Romulan dialect, I don't need to hear that.
Okay.
I probably will read through it just out of curiosity to find out what happens, to see if you get a big finish. But yes. So no, right. this is we want everybody to sort of follow along and get a general idea of what's happening with their camera and why it's
so
important.
No hate mail, please.
I don't care. Go ahead. It doesn't cost nothing. So yeah, basically in this regard, latitude refers to how much you can miss by. So if your exposure, if you're exposing at an f/8 is your proper, quote unquote, proper exposure, and you accidentally expose at an f/16, that's two stops. Are you still going to get an acceptable image? Meaning, if you get it home on your computer, can you lighten it up and still get a decent image? Now, the answer is who knows?
Right.
I mean, the answer, it's highly subjective. If you think it's good, then that's fine. So that's one of the issues I have when people are advertising, you know, this camera has 13 stops of latitude or whatever it is, because it is really, it has a million stops if you like. If that's good enough for you, then go ahead.
Right.
So that's what latitude refers to. So there is basically, you know, something that's acceptable. Now, when you're shooting with negative, color negative film, you have a ton of latitude. You can miss by a mile and still get an acceptable image. Like, it's hard to mess up an exposure on color negative film.
I did not know that.
If you shoot slide film, basically what we call reversal film, you had better nail it. You don't have that latitude. What about digital? Where does digital fall?
You have lots of latitude.
Okay. No. Wrongish. I find that you have less than color negative film.
Okay, I don't have the comparison. I just thought, especially with RAW, I thought that there was a fair amount of latitude.
There is a fair amount, yes.
Sometimes I find I miss badly, and I can still, in RAW, like we did that challenge where we saved images with Dawn a few episodes back, and again, all of those were examples of bad misses that we're able to save.
Mm-hmm. They weren't horrible misses. They were very bad misses. But horrible misses, you can pretty much save with negative film.
Okay.
Digital's pretty good. To me, in my mind, the way it feels more like you're shooting with slide film than negative film. But that also depends on if you're shooting RAW or JPEG.
Right.
If you're shooting JPEG, it's a lot closer to slide film, meaning you don't have a lot of wiggle room there. But as you just mentioned, RAW does allow for more flexibility. Okay, but that's a little bit suspect. Chris Marquardt.
In what way?
Well, Chris explained it to me a little while ago, a couple weeks ago, because we were actually talking in our spare time about RAW. So you know the rock star lifestyle we lead.
Yeah, I was going to say. So basically what you're saying is if you want somebody who knows what they're talking about to explain this, that they should listen to Chris?
Yes, exactly. Okay. But essentially, when you blow an exposure, most times one channel will go first, just how it works. Like, for instance, you might blow the red channel first, and that's okay. What causes the exposure to go over. So when you bring your RAW file back to Lightroom or Aperture or whatever you're using, and you go to basically dial that back in, from what I understand, that RAW program uses a lot of information from the remaining green and blue channels to estimate what should be there in the red channel.
Okay.
And that's how you basically pull back your blown exposure. So if you've blown two channels, red and green, now it's going to have to basically interpolate the information from blue and fill in the missing info.
Right, so it'd be less accurate if it has to do that.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
So in that regard, yes, RAW does have a lot more latitude than JPEG, but I don't know if it's true. Either way, I'm getting good results, so I'm not going to argue with it.
Okay.
It doesn't come up a lot with me because I try very hard to get it right in camera, but there's that. We actually shot a test that day about latitude and basically overexposed and underexposed a gray card and figured out how many stops of latitude the Canon 5D technically has. And I think the answer was 12. Meaning,
but you guys did this like on the weekend as a something fun to do.
Yeah, once the high school girls came over, we had a couple beers and shot some great cards.
Right,
you know, like Mick Jagger does. Yeah.
And then AC/DC showed up. You guys all had a round of drinks.
It got out of hand. Slash rolled in, and we wouldn't let him in because of last time. so we shot the gray card and found that you could make out detail at 7 stops below exposure and 5 stops over proper. So we worked that out to being 12 or 13 stops of latitude. But it's not something that you would like to shoot. Like, it wasn't like, oh, it looks great at 7 stops under. No one's still listening. You're not even listening anymore.
No, I'm trying to think of, okay, so now tell me how this applies to me, because I want to know how I take this information and integrate it tangibly.
Exactly. Well, now we have something this is where the rubber meets the road for me, because I actually, despite all my shooting my mouth off about latitude just now, I don't really care about latitude. Okay. Latitude has very little interest to me. What does interest me is something called dynamic range. Now, again, this is my understanding, but scientists might know more than I do. The dynamic range refers to how much dark and how much light, what that range is that you can see in one frame.
Okay.
So how dark can you go? I think I explained it. Carry on.
Yeah. Okay.
You had something to say. I know it.
No, I don't think so. I took a deep breath because I was waiting for this enlightening information. Right.
Okay, so what did I write down? How much did dynamic range can you achieve in a digital shot?
That's what I care about.
Yeah, I don't have a number that's going to help you.
Great.
It's basically it's such a variable thing now, because like my gut feeling is that I feel like when I look at a film print, something I've shot on film and then printed on film tends to have more dynamic range than something shot on digital. That's and that could be 100% by feel. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
But how do you deal with that? How do you? So let's say, I'm trying to find a practical application to this so that it makes sense.
Well, I think what for me, and again, I don't know exactly if the light meter and the reading that I'm looking at through my viewfinder is the same thing, but I'm looking at, okay, on a histogram, for example, you know, you've got your darks at one end and your lights at the other. So when I look through the lens and I see a -2, and again, I don't, those units, right, are I guess kind of arbitrary, but a -2 at either end, and I know that the light meter is reading a -2, I'm probably going to get areas that my camera cannot read, right? So practically for me, I have to make sure that I don't exceed either end or else I'm going to get edges chopped off.
That's pretty well put, yeah. I didn't mean to sound surprised saying that. That's about right. Now, is it actually two stops? Because the -2 isn't arbitrary. It refers to two stops.
Right, okay.
So technically it's you got two, you know, double the – you know. Well, four times the light over and four times the light under. So, you know, how many stops do you have? Your camera can likely see slightly more than that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't suggest a whole lot more in the same frame. And like you said, you basically have to keep all your visible image within that histogram that you're talking about. And again, that isn't as scientific as it could be. I think it's dumbed down science so that people like me can use it. Otherwise, forget it.
Right.
But essentially, like if you're going to go out in life and you're going to go out and see, basically your eye has this broad, giant dynamic range of what it can see, and your camera can represent only a small part of that. How do you deal with that?
Good question.
Well, I'll give you one example. Is first of all look for scenes that have a low dynamic range. So if you're basically standing inside the house in a dark room and you're going to include a window of bright sunlight, you're in trouble.
Right.
You're not going to expose properly for both within that same image. Unless, what's one way that you could do that?
Flash, add light.
That's a lot of times why we use a flash, is to balance those things out. So yeah. What you're doing is bringing up that dark exposure to somewhat match that bright outside sunlight, so that now all of a sudden your camera can capture that entire range. You're shortening that range up of life so your camera can capture it.
Right.
Okay. There was one real world example of latitude that I wanted to talk about, and I'll show the picture that I did a couple years ago as part of my parent project. When I was shooting my friend's parents, I shot my own dad. And it was basically, I was heading back to Germany that day, and we were tight for time, and I realized I hadn't shot a portrait of my dad, so it was kind of I had to race around and do it in a couple of minutes. And so I shot him in his truck. And see, if you look at that image, you know, it all looks pretty well lit. I did use a couple flashes, one on his face, one on the background, and I used the sun to backlight him.
Right.
Okay. Now, the one thing that I missed because we were running around is his left hand that's on the steering wheel of the truck was tremendously blown out, like just white. It was gone.
Okay.
You couldn't see it. So what I did was, now this is where latitude came in handy. I basically took that exposure and I dialed it right down to like -4 stops. Just cranked the exposure right down.
Yeah.
And his hand magically reappeared. It actually kept that information. That's great, except for guess what happened?
You moved.
No. What are we talking about now?
No. I was going to say, you moved to Vancouver. No, what happened was now that you brought his hand down, right, then you got darker everywhere else.
The rest of the image was dark as well. So that's yes. that's where latitude. Now, had it been a dynamic range situation, it would have still been able to capture the hand. It, originally in the shot, we would have still been able to see detail in the hand, and the rest of the image would have looked fine.
Right.
But that was just absurd amount of dynamic range. It doesn't happen. So I brought the hand back. Everything else went dark. And so now I basically used Photoshop. I cut the hand out and basically pasted it on the proper exposure.
Okay.
And that's how I used latitude. And that's how I basically evened out the exposure and fixed my mistake. I mean, ultimately, next time, if I had more time, I would have had him just move his hand slightly out of the sunshine. It would have been fine.
Right.
But
save you a lot of post production work.
Which is what I strive to do. I like to do that. So I'll post that and you can see the image. In fact, I'll even post the before shot.
Okay.
So there's that. So there's one more way, and this is kind of what we've been doing the whole show for, hinting at. One more way to deal with a broad dynamic range and get it into one shot. And do you have any idea what that would be?
That is the high dynamic range HDR type of shot that I don't do, mm-hmm. have no practice doing, but you can achieve this kind of result.
That's exactly right. Now, HDR is something, that's what the cool kids are calling it.
Yes.
Or tone mapping, which I don't really know much about the difference. We're going to have someone explain that to us. But HDR essentially does that. It takes all the entire large, high dynamic range and squeezes it into your regular picture so that you can see it all at once.
Right.
Okay, so that's it. I don't want to get too far into high dynamic range. This has basically been a primer for HDR so we understand what's going on.
Okay.
So ultimately, no matter what you record, no matter how many stops that you decide to record, you have to squeeze it into your final output. So if you're, for instance, you can go and record 12-channel surround sound audio, but if you only have a 2-speaker stereo, that's what you have to mix it down to.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Same with photography. You can go and, try and take a 100-stop photo, but if you can only display 6, that's what you're looking at.
Right.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that analogy. Can you actually record 12 channels of audio?
Why not?
I don't know.
You could record as many as microphones as you can put together.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's why when Dolby 5.1 came out, everyone was excited, and then that wasn't good enough, so we had to do 7.1 and kept adding on. Really?
Has it gone any higher than that?
I stopped counting. I don't care. I honestly don't really care.
My stereo still does 5.1.
Does it?
Yeah.
I went right back to just regular two-speaker stereo when I moved over here. Still have 5.1 at home, but wow, riveting.
Yes.
Good stuff. So we got a photo challenge. I wrote one down. I think you have a better one from what I understand.
Well, I don't know if it's better.
Make it good, like texture.
Yours, yeah, because that was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wish you'd followed through.
Yeah, sorry. I do have one, and it kind of ties into the theme of what's going on in the world right now. We didn't talk about it, but you're in Germany, and right now, Euro 2012. This is the big thing on the planet right now.
Is it so, big in North America as well?
Well, it's on all the time. I mean, I'm not even a huge soccer fan, but I'm following it on the radio. I'm watching the highlights on TV, and no, it's big stuff. And again, this show is worldwide, buddy. This is a global broadcast we're doing here. So I thought, in honor of that, and in honor of Kwachi and the upcoming 2012 Olympics, I thought take a sport photo. I mean, that's a lot of photographers do this kind of thing. I thought, let's take an action sport shot. I don't know. Is that doable where you are?
Absolutely.
So there you go. We haven't done anything like that. And I thought now that I have a leg up because your 70 to 200 is broken and mine works perfectly, that that maybe you're going to have to stand right next to the guy in order to take your shot. But
oh, worst case scenario, I'm going to take a picture of my Huey Lewis in the News CD cover. Sports. Great album.
All right, so there it is, a sport photo.
Sport photo. I'm gonna make that happen. Yeah, I haven't been following all of the games, but I watched Germany play, and their boring 1-0 win the other day.
Yeah, and they're a favorite. They're one of the tournament favorites, as they always seem to be.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that I've never been a soccer fan, or Fußball, as they call it here. Means football, as you can figure out,
right?
But in 2010, I went to all the public viewings they have. Like they put a big screen out in town, and everyone shows up and drinks beer and enjoys the merriment and all that.
Yes.
And as soon as you are basically involved in this whole collective excitement, it's very exciting.
Yes,
I can imagine. Dancing with the Stars being that exciting if everybody got together and watched it.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, it's similar with 2010 and the Olympics in Vancouver. There was a lot of these same outdoor viewing, places to go and watch the big events with just a huge collection of people, and it's a good time, and it's a sense of community, and it's, again, chance to stand outside and drink beer with 3,000 other people or however many they pack into one of those beer gardens out there.
So it's around that, actually, yeah. So
there you go.
And the good news is, if Germany loses in the final, I am going to riot and burn some cars. Just to export a little Vancouver into Germany.
Right. Yeah, and it's almost, I mean, that said, it's the one-year anniversary of that riot in like 4 days.
Is it?
I think it's the 15th, yeah, 15th of June. They started talking about it on the radio because they've actually handed out two convictions.
Okay.
Out of three, there's been 300 charges apparently, and so far two convictions. Just had our second conviction 1 month behind bars, apparently, of the latest guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to cut all this uninteresting stuff.
No, this is more interesting than what we just talked about.
More interesting than Latitude, that's for sure.
48 minutes, yeah. So, anyways, where can we find your stuff again?
Okay, before we get into that, I promise,
come on.
Starting in the next couple episodes, we're going to have some real world tips for the listeners. Okay,
right.
There'll be takeaways instead of this abstract blather.
Okay,
but it's important stuff to set up for it, so people can find my stuff. Oh, hopefully they can still find it all. AlanAttridge.com and us are at thetwohosers.com because I've moved the servers now.
It all works.
It works. Okay. It depends because. The old ones they're not still up. The old ones are not up anymore. So, yeah, if it works, you're good. If you have it bookmarked, it might go to the old site. So be sure to basically re-enter twohosers.com or reset your browser if you have to get rid of the old links. But the point is, it's still alanattridge.com, twohosers.com, and that's where you can find all the stuff you need to know about the both of us. And Schwartz Chronicles, where do we find that?
SchwartzChronicles.com. When are you going to have my my really interesting photo blog set up so I can enter stuff?
When I understand how to do it.
Because I can't wait to get it all up and running.
That's true. You want to get you want to get typing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I got to have a little sit down with an expert and have them explain to me how I can do this.
Okay.
Because it's basically learning new software and stuff, and I don't really know. I don't much feel like it, so you're welcome to learn it if you like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that's my two options, either do it or have it not get done.
Okay.
So it will be ideally, it will be soon.
Okay, let me know, and I'm just going to start blogging like crazy.
Okay, and now I'm going to read from the phone book just to spice things up.
All right, wrap it up.
Okay.
Take her home.
Okay, that's it. Until next week, get out there and... make better photos.